Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, our co-host, is Ben Reckley, directly across from me, local conservative and businessman. Welcome aboard, sir.
Well, good to be here. Full house today, Bob.
Yep, how about it? We got the chamber here. We got Full Mr. House. Taylor Lightman is here, fresh from the other side of the planet. He's here. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Bob Garrett here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Welcome aboard, sir.
Great to be here, Mark.
And your chairwoman is here from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, hailing from Penn State University, where she can explain her good job duties again and titles shortly. Sue Green back in our studios. Welcome aboard.
And good morning and happy new year.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming
in. Should we have the Penn State fight song, Sue, when we introduce you?
No. Yeah, no, we don't need to do that.
And then we have Bob Rohr at the end of it.
Oh, yeah, that would be good, though.
Well, we got to do something.
There
here,
we go. So. We can think about that.
Well, welcome on board. Jobless numbers are out, so we're going to analyze those, and the Chamber's going to talk about their strategic plan, and they'll also tell us about sort of the local economy and activities and events that they got coming up. So we'll get analysis about the jobless numbers very shortly. Let me fully introduce the panel today, introduce our show on the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So that is the company that does the sponsoring, so we very much appreciate that. We'll have a lot more to say about them as our show progresses. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Those are places where the labor participation rate is 100%, where everybody's pulling for you, the customer. So we'll talk about that, too, as our show progresses. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 702-236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message. If you haven't yet done so, sign up at WKOK.com. We'll send you emergency messages only, breaking news, dead celebrities, tornadic weather, or major road closures. That's what we use Text Connect to reach out to you. We don't sell you anything. We don't sell the list. It's just a way for us to reach and tell you that there's something on the radio you might want to hear. Labor participation rate is out for 2018, ended the year at 63.1. So that's a bigger bounce than some of the months, yeah, well, I guess. So
you know, this whole labor report this morning, Mark, makes me want to talk about the weather or something. How do we make sense out of all this? You know, we start with when I put together what we're going to be looking for this morning, I said the theme might be our recession fears overblown. And to hear the breaking news that 312,000 jobs created in December, the unemployment rate went up, not down, went up, and the participation rate went up. Well, so the participation rate and unemployment rate both going up, that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is how you can create 312,000 jobs, which I can't remember the last time we heard a number that big. You got to go back a decade at least number.
300,000 used to be a benchmark. You look to create $400,000 jobs.
Yeah.
But the one thing is the average wage rate that went up.
Right. Have we seen that, Ben? I know we were looking.
I thought it was 3.2%.
Yeah, we were looking to keep it at 3.2% for the entire year for 2018.
But went up compared to 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, wage rates are going up, and we actually have a chart that we can get to as we page through this that shows that the wages are going up ahead of over inflation. So that's actually fairly good. good. Now, wage increases are inflationary by their nature, but the fact that folks are making more money and have more money in their pocket so that inflation isn't gobbling it all up is good news. But back to the labor numbers, it'll be interesting to see what the market does. Now, clearly, and in fact, Taylor reminded us of Warren Buffett's quote about economists or folks who watch the market are their job is to make soothsayers look good or something, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So we'll see what this does to the market, but we are not in a recession. I think we can say that for sure, based on hiring alone. Now there's a lot of other factors that go into determining bear markets, recessions, those kind of things, and we can talk about that as the show unfolds.
But hasn't the economic equation changed? When you look at where gold and silver is, where commodities are, where supply and demand of employment of labor is, so you know you don't have your typical, let's say the basic equation that we used to judge the market, you know, consumer index, those things need to be adjusted because the times are a little bit different here. And also too, one of the interesting parts is what's going on in the world. And you know, China right now's economy is sort of knee deep in their own. The rooster come back. The how would you say?
The chickens came back to roost.
The roost to China. Yeah, well, the rooster is not crowing over in China as much as they have. So the Chinese economy, and when one company can drive a stock market, and yesterday wasn't only Apple, but everyone talked about Apple. So because Apple's not selling some damn devices, holy smokes, that's going to then make the stock market fall. But there's more to that. Mm-hmm. But when one company can drive that, and it's the first time in 15 years that Apple has looked at their profits and said, we're not going to hit our marks.
You know, it was very interesting watching the, we had an election over in Sweden. And the question that the political parties were dealing with was, and go into this with the knowledge that we usually have a recession about every 10 years or so. And the question that the political parties framed there is who is best equipped to deal with a coming recession in the next 4 years or something like that. And there's a lot of ways, this is a fabulous jobs report, and there's a lot of ways to measure the economy. I feel like there was a Fed chairman that used to measure rail car production in China as a measure of the economy. And there's a million ways to measure the economy. The stock market is not doing well. I think we're down for the year, in fact.
Hold on. It's not doing well in reference to the year?
Or just in general. I mean, if you look at the 10-year chart, it's not.
I think when they changed administrations, the stock market was 17,000, 18,000, somewhere in there. Now it went up to near 27,000. Now it's back to like 22,000. So there's a net gain that's very positive.
Well, and I think that's partially due to the $1 billion in stock buybacks that we had in 2018, which those chickens will come back to roost.
All right, Sue, your reaction to this? You're involved in helping run Penn State School of Business, so you bring the educational perspective to this. Your view on this and jobless numbers?
It's interesting. My HR colleagues, regionally, we worry about joblessness and keeping, employees, keeping business going here. So nationally, I don't tend to. I'll be honest, we don't tend to focus it in that perspective. It's more like what's happening here really close and how is that impacting us.
What's the local angle? What are you hearing? We certainly know there's plenty of job openings around here.
There are, absolutely. But it's still very tech-heavy. We're growth in manufacturing still, I've heard again, it's not your grandfather's manufacturing any longer, so we still need folks, up to speed on technology to help move that forward.
But you also see a difference, though, between Happy Valley. You go to the Penn State region, you see the diversity of State College, and go down 99 to Altoona, and in between is the towns of Tyrone and the old manufacturing places. Mm-hmm. So there's a diverse labor force over there. Now, the high-tech business in Center County is booming.
Sure.
The folks just cannot get enough qualified workers to work. And I don't know how many IT people you can hire, but it seems like businesses are just gobbling them up.
The same thing in the health. I'm sorry, Bob.
Go ahead.
But same thing in healthcare. And, mm-hmm. you know, for the last 15 years I've been with Penn State regionally, I cover about 10 counties in the center part of the state here. I work out of my home here in Lewisburg, so I'm pretty cool, frankly. And so I guess when I'm speaking, I'm talking more on this side of the mountain than mm-hmm. that side of the mountain, just to clarify. But healthcare, having been an employment training manager at Evan in previous life, you know, we swap healthcare clinically mm-hmm. here. You know, we in trying to build those pools of, or pools of folks that can cover here, bringing mm-hmm. people in where we can, and it's going to get tougher.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting a way you say we swap healthcare. I'm a perfect, almost walking example of that right now. I'm recovering from some surgery, and had the surgery at Evan, having my rehab at the Geisinger, at a rehab center that's owned by the Geisinger, and I'll end up at UPMC to finish out the last little piece of what has to be done for my ankle surgery. So that's true. We do swap healthcare in this valley, and we do it very well. But what I wanted to point out to the, particularly to the panel here that's on the radio this morning,
Bob, you got Hershey Medical Center on line one. They got a they want to help you out with a better price.
Yeah, well, and my insurance provider is Hi Mark, who owns Hershey now. No, not really. Actually, it's Geisinger.
I saw you taking medication a couple Sundays ago.
Yeah, right. Why does Ben have to throw scuds into these conversations? But in the briefing materials we put together, and maybe if we can explain this to the listeners, because they don't have this in front of them, but we're looking at two maps on page 5 of your briefing packet, and what it's showing is county by county unemployment rates. And you can see it in greater Susquehanna Valley. We still, our four counties, you know, Montour, Northumberland, Union, Snyder, we still are in the bottom 10 counties of the state. The bottom three of the counties are in the bottom 10 unemployment-wise. So, you know, when you look at Montour County, 3.5% unemployment, you're talking about 120 people. So you're not talking about any big numbers. I added a new map this month to this, and I'll try to do this on a monthly basis, and it's where there are labor surplus areas. And basically, when you look at central Pennsylvania, the number of counties that are considered to be labor surplus, so in other words, there's more people than there are jobs, are getting less and less and less. Really, in the contiguous counties to the greater Susquehanna Valley, there's only one that is truly a labor surplus county, and that's Schuylkill County. And frankly, when you go to our south and east, they're the only county until you get to Philadelphia that is showing a labor surplus. The other ones interesting folks might find are Clinton and Huntington counties are considered labor surplus, and then the cities of Williamsport and Harrisburg are labor surplus. Then the last piece of information in the packet, and this is something maybe we can talk about more as the year unfolds, are what are known as high priority occupations. And this is for the central region. So right where we're sitting right now, these are the high priority occupations. Now it says 2018. It's actually July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2019. And these are the jobs, their average entry level pay, the annual average once you get through your training period, and then the number of openings in the our four county area. And you can see there when you look down, there's probably, I'm going to guess 45, 50 jobs listed here as high priority occupations. And for example, under maintenance and repair workers general, 129 positions this year opening up in that area. So then you go to the next page. Sue was mentioning about healthcare.
250 RNs.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. 254 registered nurses. So 121 nursing assistants. So high priority occupations are really driving the work that Sue does, the work that the vocational schools do, other folks do, because this is where the jobs currently exist. We're not talking about some theory here. We're not talking about some, you know, pointy-headed economist in some ivory tower. We're talking about employers in the greater Susquehanna Valley and the kinds of positions that they have available right now.
But can you, and Sue, maybe you can address this, can you get labor at a decreased compensation in this area, where people who have grown up here who want to stay here will take less instead of going to somewhere else? Will people who have been somewhere else, maybe have a family, say, oh, I can go back and I can be an accountant, or I can open an accounting firm back in Lewisburg or Seals Grove or Danville, Sunbury, Milton, and do well, and the quality of life for my family might be better, even though I might be making a little less money? More, you know, the whole, you know, balance of life. How do you look at the Central Susquehanna Valley?
In my opinion, you know, it's a good assessment, frankly. You know, we have a lot of people who move back for whatever reason, and being quality of life here in this region is just, we did too. You know, we were down in D.C. and came home, and I joke about clicking my heels, and, you know, there's no place like home. And that's, so the kicker here, though, is, and we beat the, I feel like I'm breathing here hard, you know, the millennial population, and when that shifted in the nursing industry, especially on their quality of life or work-life balance, on wanting day jobs so they could be with their children, or if they could, we needed other folks to step up to the plate to take those other shifts that, you know, we need in the hospital space. And so that's been a challenge, but I haven't heard recently, you know, how the bonus situation is, the attraction component, tuition reimbursement is, but those were some of those things.
I know
they
it's
used.
Hard for companies to bring outsiders in, and that's a number of different people in the area. So the area appeals to people maybe who've grown up here, went away, or maybe grew up here and are able to stay. I mean, there is an appeal for people to move in and enjoy it, but it's hard to recruit at certain levels with certain larger companies in this area. However, can you get locals to stay here, and maybe businesses don't have to pay them the compensations?
And they,
no, I'm not talking about brain drain. What I'm talking about is compensation and how this area has a lot of pluses, but there might be some negatives when it comes to what you have to pay somebody to stay here, to live here, who's already lived here.
No, I think when you're looking for talent, regardless, you know, people will spend a lot more marketing dollars or recruitment dollars to pull high-end talent that we can't, that we may or may not have necessarily here. Or how do we attract them, you know, and then how do we advertise in the metro markets to bring them here? The trick is diversity is an issue, because we don't do well with necessarily bringing diverse populations in here with talent. And that's been one of those things that we just aren't. You know, we're just kind of a little...
bit of an enclave, I guess.
Thank you.
Yeah, but there's a lot of efforts out happening. You know, the chamber is partnering with the United Way to try to make sure the folks realize that the workforce of the future, the workforce in the greater Susquehanna Valley at the future, may not look like the workforce of today, and that we need to be welcoming. If you want to go to the hospital and see a qualified doctor, that doctor may not look just like you. You got to get over that, and we need to be welcoming of people. And the other thing is, I always go back to the data, to the evidence, if you will. And when you look at, like, this high priority occupations, and you look at the salaries that are being paid, you know, for example, electrical power line installers and repairers. Now, we know who that is. We see those trucks out there. I mean, their entry level, $51,200. Their annual salary, so that's the, you know, people that are in the middle of their careers, $78,390, and once you become expert level or master level, if you're in a union type position, $91,990. Now that's pretty good pay,
good money,
I would say.
Yeah.
But isn't diversity sort of should be a more of a natural aspect? I mean, if you want to get talent, you get talent. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking particularly to say we have to have this type of talent, isn't it more natural for people to go where they feel comfortable and want to work and use their skills?
Well, I think the goal is so that anybody can feel comfortable living here.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to stop you there, Taylor. We got a great panel here with Ben Reichle and Taylor Lightman, the co-hosts of the show, Bob Garrett and Sue Green here from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. If you wish to join our conversation, call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. That's 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the jobless rate going up a little bit, some sort of a correction up to 3.9%, and over 300,000 jobs were created in the last month, 312,000 jobs. Wage rates, hourly pay, improved 3.2% from a year ago. So that's, for a while there, we were saying, well, gee, when are wages are going to catch up? And that's the beginning of the catch up there. So that's good news for folks. But join the conversation. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yeah. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, call us immediately. We are going to keep our Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce guests a little bit past the top of the hour. We got to talk about their strategic plan. We got to talk about the event coming up. And we want to meet Sue Green, your new chairperson.
Right, you get to know her better.
Fantastic. All right, so that's coming up very shortly. 1-800-795-9565. We're wrapping up our jobless reaction. Any additional thoughts, maybe the local jobless numbers?
Yeah, we'll just take a real quick look at the local numbers, Mark. Now, keep in mind, the state is always a month behind the federal government in making their reports. But basically, no big surprises, but the rates pretty well are stabilized with Montour County at 3.5%, with Northumberland County at 5.3%, and then Union and Snyder, they're usually real close to each other. And again, in November, they were very close, 3.8% and 3.9% Union and Snyder. Are we at full employment? We're very close to full employment, certainly. If we have a county that has some labor surplus, it would be Northumberland County, and I think we have a good idea of where the pockets, where there might be some folks that if we could get the right training and the right transportation and other supports, there might be some folks that can
also
enter the workforce
The quality of the worker. Is the worker qualified?
Right.
Can the worker work?
Right, right.
I mean, and who knows? I mean, I guess there's industries coming to Shmokin now.
Right.
Between the medical marijuana industry growing and selling, there's potential for all the people in Shmokin to...
I think it's a fair question that you ask, a fair point that you make, that the folks have to be interested in working and have the qualifications for the jobs that exist. I'm not 100% convinced that to point out one town is different from another town. I'm not buying that completely.
Well, I would say if you get to southern Northumberland County into Schuylkill, which I made the trip the other day to Prattsville, and you look at, you know, what is the quality of the workforce? Mm-hmm. If you were opening up an industry, would you consider that? And the other part is when you want to look at going into another area and you say, what's the quality of the workforce because the competition with other industries?
And how do measure the quality of the workforce by driving through the town?
It's the statistics that people say. It's the companies that are trying to hire who can't hire. You look at what the labor force, what you can do. But you have to also look at if you go into an area, can you get labor because the competition among other industries? Hmm. And you can judge an area by the way the area looks.
All right, we got a caller on the line.
Unfortunately, that's a reality of the world.
Dale, you're on the mark.
Totally
go right ahead.
That.
I would not agree.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, in the last 30 years, have we changed the definition of job? Because what they're failing to, you know, mention is subsidized jobs, corporate jobs, and private sector jobs. So I think the private sector jobs is probably, like, growth this year is probably about 4%. And subsidized jobs is probably about 45%. Maybe another 40% for a subsidized job.
You including government jobs in there?
Yeah. Corporate is basically government now because they get so many perks. And, you know, they can fire one person and hire 10, and then they get more incentives as a corporation.
All right. Well, let's put that question to our panel. Yeah, good question. What have we redefined the definition of job?
Yeah, I know you're looking to me, Mark, but Sue, from an HR perspective, I'm not aware of any change in definition. Now, we do look very carefully at the different sectors, mm-hmm. and maybe that's the point Dale was making is, where are the sectors that are growing, which are the sectors that are not?
Well, that's going to have to be our stepping off point. Good question from Dale. So we'll talk about the definition of jobs. How has it evolved? When we talk to Sue Green, she is from Penn State University. She is involved in the executive programs at Penn State at the Smeal College of Business at Penn State. As she mentioned, she's lucky enough to work out of her house, but only has to cover 11 counties in the process. So she knows her way around the highways around here as well. So we'll be talking to her. Bob Garrett's going to stay from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Taylor Lightman's going to delay his flight back to Sweden for another hour. And Ben Reichle is here. He's our good local conservative businessman. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Thank you so much. Deep voice man, fabulous producer Rob Center is always with us, so we always appreciate his hard work. Ben Reichle is here, local conservative businessman and a committee person on the Republican side, and he comes in to represent the conservative view of a lot of these topics. And Mr. Taylor Lightman is here, we're glad to say. He's probably a registered Democrat, and he's here to tell us that...
I probably am.
Okay. He's here to tell us that there's a new way to think about all these important topics. Mr. Bob Garrett is here, nonpartisan, if there ever was one.
Raging moderate.
Do you even have a political party?
I do.
Okay, well.
It's not important.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we don't know, that says something. So we appreciate it.
If you want to vote in the primary, you have to be in a party.
Raging moderate?
Raging moderate.
But do you change, depending upon the primary you want to vote in?
I have.
If somebody wants your support.
A few years ago, a friend of mine was running for mayor in Harrisburg, and I wanted to vote for him in the primary, so I switched over to Democrat, and the day after the primary, I switched back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Sue Green is with us. She comes from Penn State University. Sue, tell us a little. You are the chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. First of all, as chair, what are the jobs that you'll get to do as the year progresses?
One of the jobs, it's interesting when John Yuling passed that gravel. I wasn't sure, wasn't sure how fast he could pass it. Anyways, so it was smiling ear to ear, by the way. But no, I'm looking forward to it, you know, to be able to help assist Bob and his team and just kind of guide the board and work on our strategic plan moving forward for the next couple of years.
You know, the Sue is something of a, I think of Sue as our strategic plan in person because the work she does with the executive programs up at Penn State perfectly aligns with what our strategic plan talks about when we talk about the cost of doing business and the ways we can keep the cost of doing business, workforce development, technology, and this issue of polarization. All of those things are things that Penn State tackles every day through their executive program. So perfect person at the perfect time in the perfect place, in my opinion.
Okay, we've alluded to it in the past, but I'm curious to hear more about what you do for work.
Sure, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'm happy to. I'm a conduit from the Penn State side of the house, and it's primarily looking for learning solutions with companies, business, and industry, and organizations that are struggling. And I had pulled here this high occupation list to see if supervisors and managers are still at the top of the list and how often do they still show up. And all the time that I've been working in this space, soft skills is still huge. I have two other colleagues that have director roles that for learning solutions, primarily in supply chain and leadership and strategy, and I tend to focus more in frontline manager, supervisory soft skills with lean project management. It's kind of my expertise space. And so it's not credit, per se. We've got other colleagues to cover the credit side of the house, and we do have that as a benefit as with mm-hmm. the chamber. If you're a chamber member, you can get a reduction on the World Campus. Mm-hmm. And they're spouses and children, too.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
So they enlarged that program.
53,000 employees of chamber members.
Sure. But primarily, I work with HR professionals or operation managers or CEOs looking for solutions on how do we get them to move forward? How we can do strategic planning and such.
A lot of training and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. I know you've just started this position on the 1st of January, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any goals?
For the board?
For the board, yeah.
Well, our strategic plan is going to be our guide. You know, mm-hmm. we're coming off of 2 years with a really good strategic plan that we somewhat have morphed and it's massaged into this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the priorities are a little different. So just to kind of keep that ball rolling is my thinking.
Yeah, and we've always had geographic diversity on the chamber board with our regions, et cetera. And for this year, the first time ever, we have a specific position on the board for young professionals, for example, looking at, going back to the discussion we were having about recruiting people to the Valley, we see the young professionals as one of the critical tools that we have for recruiting young people, and not only recruiting them, but keeping them here mm-hmm. once they get here.
And I would push back a little bit from what you said earlier, Ben. You know, I see, you know, I've been in the Valley for a while, although I do live in Sweden now. But I see, you know, I go out to the bars. I see a lot of friends from college that are still here working, you know, at CEDACOG or somewhere else mm-hmm. or starting up their own business. And my parents also are not from the area. They were recruited by Geisinger to come here, and my dad's a doctor. And they've stayed and, you know,
my dad
doesn't work for Geisinger anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're pushing back on. The point we're making is that if people live here and grew up here, want to stay here, they'll take less compensation than to move to a metropolitan area potentially. So you can use that sort of in a business's favor. Somebody wants to stay here. They're giving the pros and the cons, and they're saying, now, if you want to recruit people back to here, are you able to bring people back at a interesting rate that would allow people to come back and enjoy the Susquehanna Valley over a metropolitan area?
I see what you're saying, but you also have to take into account cost of living. You know, if you could move to San Francisco
that cost of living.
Yeah, well, I mean,
why would you want to come back here? What's the positive to come back here? Cost of living, raising a family, and that's what you hear from professionals all over. If you're here and grew up here, you'll come back in. The tough times for businesses is to recruit somebody who lives in San Diego and says, I'm going to pay you to come to Central Susquehanna Valley. And they look and they say, geez, I'm going to make how much more or less money than I'm making now? I don't have any ties there. I do like the offer, but I like San Diego a little better than Central Susquehanna Valley.
Yeah. Well, they do have better weather.
No argument there. Plus, Sarah Bartlett lives there, so you can listen to her on the radio out there. So that's always important.
Her podcast.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, right in the middle of our Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce conversation. Our sponsor of the program, the Sunbury Motor Company. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open, 1-800-795-9565. We talked about joblessness. We redefined what jobs are. We talked a little bit about Sue Green's important job at Penn State, making sure that all of the local companies and manufacturers and businesses realize that Penn State's there to help them modernize or to get into the right century or whatever, or just to really peak their operation, bring it up to 110% so they can maximize their profits and their good standing in our local area. Strategically, what she does is important to the chamber. Tell us about the chamber's strategic plan.
So with the dropping of the ball in Times Square or the the lump of coal in Shamokin, however you want to say it. We have a new strategic plan. It's really a tweak, I would say, of our previous plan, our path of prosperity. The four key priorities are the cost of doing business, everything from the cost of, you know, interest rates to you know, to you know, what it costs to get technology onto the floor of our manufacturers, workforce issues, recruiting a workforce, as well as making sure that our local workforce is qualified for the jobs that exist here, technology. Training in IT, as well as our broadband issue. We're continuing to lead the fight throughout the state, if not the nation, on rural broadband. And then polarization is our new topic, if you will. And what we're going to try to tackle is, at least in the greater Susquehanna Valley, we're going to try to provide the situations, fora, whatever it takes, for folks to talk about their differences of opinions and come together and work effectively to make our downtowns and our communities more livable, to get positive things, changes done right here in the greater Susquehanna Valley.
All right, we have an open line, 1-800-795-9565. Eric, thank you for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I like to talk about living in Central PA. I'm very proud to have been born here, raised my family here, and now be able to retire here. But what I see with a lot of my youth and families are struggling because they can't find a livable wage. I mean, or they have a job which is just below full-time. So both parents are working odd hours and so forth. Why don't we talk about a livable wage and also benefits that some of the companies need to offer up benefits or have support for the health care that can be provided by the government? I don't even talk about retaining people here. I think people who grew up here would stay here if they had the ability to. I was very fortunate to get my degree from Susquehanna and then get a training program with the Commonwealth out at Seals Grove and be able to raise my family here. Both of my kids went to Seals Grove and then to Susquehanna. But it was only fortunate I was working for the Commonwealth. But how many local businesses are willing to pay their employees what they're worth and then also provide them just the basics of health insurance and things like dental insurance and eye insurance? I'd love to hear what our panelists from the people representing the local small business, what they have to say about that.
Yeah, good question. Okay, getting liberal. Okay. You could go up and down 11 and 15 and get the minimum wage if you wanted it today.
Okay.
But we got a family-sustaining wage.
Okay. Hey, Eric, this is Bob Garrett, the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. I can tell you that the Chamber, a couple things that we're doing is, first off, the picture you paint is the you know, the 21st century economy where there's a lot more part-time employment rather than full-time, and a lot of that is they're running away from different regulations, et cetera. A lot of employers know if they hire full-time, there's certain things they have to do for employees. So that rather than hiring one full-time person, they hire three part-time people. One of the things we're trying to do is to provide benefits at a more competitive rate. The Chamber actually offers some benefit packages through our PCI, Pennsylvania Chamber Insurance, where the members of the Chamber can go in and they can pick up a package for themselves and for their employees that's a little more competitive than if they were out competing just as the one small business. So that's one of the things that we do. The other is we're always encouraging that our employers, where if you can, try to use the technology, try to use what's available to make your business as profitable as possible so that you are able to move people into full-time positions and to provide benefits.
And Eric, this is Taylor here, and thanks for calling. And I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. You know, I'm sort of representing things here from the left, and I know that majorly something that nationally we're trying to do, and also in the state, is raise the minimum wage, which bumps up everybody's wages. And I know a lot of folks in the national scene are trying to fight for Medicare for all, and I think that that's absolutely something that we need to work on.
So you want to weigh in on this idea of family-sustaining jobs are at a premium around here?
Well, just from working with some other partners in this region, you know, just in a building an awareness that there are resources out there for training, you know, and though employers need to be aware of maybe training dollars to help build those competencies so people can make some more dollars. It's really hard for me to kind of expand on that, I'll be honest, but that would be my piece.
Okay.
Well, the definition of a livable wage, you have to look and say, what is that? And also, too, you have to look at the skills levels. And if you choose an area to live in, how are you going to live there? You need to have skills to live there. So, you know, depending on the callers, you know, whatever he's talking about his children, but, you know, the caller works for the state, and government is a positive employer in rural areas. We see it in the prison system, both state and federal. So you see that. Now, in the private sector, you're going to dictate to private companies how they have to run their business. It's going to be interesting to see what that Medicare for All will not work. Will bankrupt the country right off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, I disagree with you on that. But I mean, my definition of a livable wage is, you know, if you put in an honest day's work, 40 hours a week, you should be able to cover your rent. You should be able to cover your health care, put food on the table, and maybe even save a little bit for vacation at the end of the year.
Undefinable. You can't define that, because what's the skill? What job are you working? Are you a clerk?
I know. It's just
manager?
We don't exist to work, Ben. We exist to live, and you shouldn't. The job shouldn't be shackles on your feet.
Eric, let me get Eric's view on this. Eric, what's your view on what you've heard from the panel?
I agree wholeheartedly, but I think it boils down to just business owners being good employers. If you want to retain good employees, then you need to compensate them so they can live here, keep their head held high, that they don't have to be, you know, sleeping off and taking public assistance or whatever, and also provide them with quality health care. They just want to raise their kids here in this beautiful Susquehanna Valley, but not having to work three or four jobs and let their kids at night to supplement their income with second. We need to have, again, a livable wage, viable compensation for people doing viable jobs.
Well, if businesses don't treat their employees leave, and businesses can't work without employees. So when you're saying businesses don't treat their employees properly, well, that's a business person's decision to offer that compensation package. It's the person who's working there to accept it or go, and maybe they leave and go somewhere else and improve their skills.
Yeah, Ben, you just said that what's influencing that is the fact that we have regulations that require businesses to do that. That's because businesses on their own won't. Now, we have a business down here in Port Treverton, Keller Marine. They hire their people. They have them at a livable wage, 40, guarantees 40 hours. They provide insurance for them and so forth. It's my understanding that they're the exception, that a company, even though they're paying someone for a 40-hour or 37.5-hour week, are not required to provide insurance or benefits for them. Yes, they have to provide them, you know, hey, but correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm working for a company, a small company here, and I'm employed for 40 hours a week, does that company have to provide me health insurance?
Well, we don't know at this panel. We'll have to look into that.
All right,
well, let's wrap up. Eric, we'll give you the last word, and then Taylor's next. Go ahead, Eric.
Great, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Just something to topic of conversation.
Really appreciate it. No,
I love Pennsylvania, but, you know, we need responsible employers to... or responsible employees. Thank you.
Yeah, every 20-something around here agrees. Taylor, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm one as well. I think we used to think, the role of companies providing health insurance arose in the 1950s when you had these really gangbusters union jobs after post-war, and you had really significant benefit packages. But I think that time is over. I think that I don't really think that it should be incumbent on the companies to provide the best health insurance. I think that is the job of a Medicare for All program. Which I think would significantly reduce the cost of health insurance, and I think it's actually the moral thing to do. And nobody should go, nobody should be bankrupted because they need, you know, Achilles tendon surgery or have cancer or something like that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our conversation. We've got a caller waiting. We've got an email pending. We still need to find out about the event.
Yeah, the big event. Yeah, right.
Coming up.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, September, October, November, December. Those are the months of the year. What's with making revolutions, resolutions, whatever they're called? called only at the beginning of the year. Grandmom says there are 12 whole months to make changes and that everyone should start simple. She told her friends at her yoga class how simple it is to get their prescription switched to our hometown pharmacy. Then they won't waste hours waiting in line. There's a good revolution. Don't waste time.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today. Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Did I say revolution? I meant to say resolution. Oh, you heard what I meant to say. I wonder if any of my friends made resolutions. And what's with old Lang Syne? This kid wants some new Lang Syne.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Dale, you have a brief follow-up to your very poignant question. Have we redefined what jobs are?
Yeah, every time I talk about subsidized jobs, everybody in there grits their teeth. But the truth is, the truth is that our IRAs, you have an IRA, okay? Would you like to pay someone to have a job out of your IRA money? Like Social Security, we all paid in Social Security, and next thing you know, they said it's an entitlement program. Okay. Well, do you call your IRA an entitlement program?
Well, IRA is your individual retirement program.
Okay. And you said Medicare would go the country goes bankrupt if we all had Medicare.
Well, Medicare for all, you can't do the numbers. There's trillions of dollars,
yeah.
and it doesn't work, and it's a government-subsidized program.
Well, Ben. Half of our government, all of our government, okay, our country's already bankrupt, okay? So now all these subsidized jobs is coming out of our IRA. That's why the increase has only been 0.25%.
What is your subsidized jobs description? How do you define subsidized jobs?
It's coming out of the tax. Basically, 20 years ago, it was called apprenticeship. Today, we put all those, it's called work programs, like NASA, they send one drone up to the moon every 4 years, and they spent $50 trillion, okay? So it basically is a work program. It's no progress, okay? So
all right,
I'm just
we got
telling
you,
where all this money's coming from is our IRAs. That's why it's only been raising 0.25% or barely anything. So,
all right. Thank you so much, Dale. Appreciate the follow-up.
The same thing happened to our IRAs.
IRAs are like mutual funds.
Right. They're investments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dale. Fabulous questions. You got an event coming up?
Yeah, we do. And it's a good place to keep the conversation going. On February 13th, we'll have our first membership meeting for the year. And we do have Matthew Rousseau. I believe I'm saying it correctly.
Doctor.
Dr. Matthew Rousseau.
Dean Rousseau.
Okay.
Dean Rousseau, PhD.
We have the dean from Susquehanna University going to be with us for our membership meeting, and we're specifically going to be talking about the economy and really trying to get better information out about the economy right here in the greater Susquehanna Valley, because I think in a lot of ways we might be using some stale assumptions, stale information and data, things like the high priority occupations and some of the other charts that we have. We can show that there are good jobs right here in the greater Susquehanna Valley. We just have to make sure that the skill sets of the people looking for those jobs and the jobs mm-hmm. match up well.
All right.
Yeah, this is just a fabulous chart you have here with all of the jobs and the openings and how much people can expect to make. Is there some place that folks that are interested can find that?
Yeah, it's if you look, I can give you the URL for it, but it's basically all of this comes from the Department of Labor,
okay.
The Pennsylvania Department of Labor. Specifically, it's workstats.dli, Department of Labor and Industry, .pa.gov.
Okay.
And all that information is right there. And you could spend the entire rest of the month looking at all the data that's available.
There's
a lot of good data about the greater Susquehanna Valley.
One of our listeners sends a note, says, good morning. I find that most of the people that work at the jobs I do have, I have gone to college. Most of the people that work at the jobs I do have gone to college. I did not go to college, and I earn the same pay as these college students. They owe $20,000 or $30,000 in loans. I don't see the benefit of college around here unless you have a great college course like a professional therapist, etc. In my opinion, save your money, says Bob, a different Bob, not Bob on the panel.
That's the wave that's going around the country.
Yeah,
Skip college, right?
Yeah.
Well, look at it. Evaluate it.
Well, you know what? I'm never going to tell anyone to check out of an education. Mm-mm. If you have the ability to have an education, it will pay off many, many fold in a thousand different ways. And not everybody goes to college to get a job, and not everybody who goes to has a job went to college. Mm-hmm. Let's not let an anti-intellectual feeling or an anti-college bias come in. You should go to college to learn and to learn how to think and to learn how to analyze, but you still have to go to work.
Well, non-traditional education.
Sue, what do you know?
Going back to what you're doing, Sue, with non-traditional, you have to go to a college campus for 4 years. You can educate yourself other ways.
Absolutely. And I'm one of those long-term learner folks myself. Went to college a couple of years back in the 70s, took a 24-year hiatus, and finish, a simple liberal arts degree online. And continue on So it just depends. It really does. I think it's, I would be the last to say not to go to college, exactly. But I think there's times when it makes sense.
Those list of occupations there that we're talking about, not all of those people went to college.
Yeah, certainly in the high-priority occupations, probably half of them don't require college, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't go to college. I think that's a trap that people allow themselves to get into, because there's a lot of reasons to go to college other than to get a specific position. I can tell you this, that once you get one of those high-priority occupations, if you want to continue to move up and become the expert, become the manager, become the owner of the company, you're going to have to commit yourself to lifelong education.
All right, we'll go around the panel for some additional thoughts. We're wrapping up a college versus no college conversation from the woman who works at the Smeal College of Business at Penn State, one of the directors in their executive programs. So, Sue, an additional thought today.
I think just what Bob said, you're going to have to make a decision personally and professionally where you want to go, how you want to get there. And then we've got a lot of people who return and do the non-credit, which is where exec programs focus is. And I can tell you, managers, people want to promote up. You're spot on, Bob. People need something more. So however they get it, will be up to them.
All right.
Keep the conversation going. February 13th, we'll have the dean from the Sigmund Weiss School of Business, Susquehanna University. Take a look at the website, gsvcc.org, for more information.
All right, we've got a caller waiting, and we'll talk to him momentarily. We have news headlines coming up, so stand by, Al. We got two emails that were put to our panel of Taylor Lightman and Ben Reichley shortly. Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce says goodbye, gsvcc.org. President and CEO Bob Garrett and the new chairperson. Do you like chairperson, chairwoman, or chair?
Just chair's fine.
Chair, okay. That chair works. It is. Sue Green is with us from Penn State. Thank you both so much for
coming.
Thank
you. Thanks for coming, guys.
Take care.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we got two callers standing by. Please be patient on our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. They dialed 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome to join in queue as well. The hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. And they remind you that buy local. Every dollar that's spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over. That means you take a dollar to the Norrie Pharmacy or Trutz Pharmacy or Shade Mountain Pharmacy or Danville Pharmacy or Bloomsburg Medicine Shop and Lewisburg Pharmacy. And they take that dollar and they emphasize local purchasing as well. They're going to be at a local restaurant, not a big box restaurant, but a local restaurant. They'll be at a local fire company contributing there. Maybe they're a volunteer. They'll be at a local company getting their tires put on. They'll be at a local company making sure that they get the goods and services that they need around here. Not the big box. This is the place where you support your local community by going to a Shade Mountain Pharmacy, a Trutz Pharmacy, a Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, or the Lewisburg Pharmacy. Those are the kind of places we are talking about. Some brief news headlines here. A current Northumberland County Commissioner has announced she's seeking re-election. Minority Commissioner Kimberly Best announced today in a statement her candidacy for re-election. She says she's done her best to bring transparency, accountability, and common sense to county government. government and says she's grateful for the support she's received. She says the county faces challenges, including the new county prison putting pressure on its finances. She also says the outstanding lawsuit majority commissioners filed against Cole Township will need to be resolved sensibly. Beth says there's also great opportunities for the county, including the Anthracite Outdoor Adventure Area, and thinks proper development of the former Celotex site could help drive economic growth. So Kimberly Best seeking re-election.
Is she running as a Democrat or an independent?
She is a Democrat. So, oh, well, that's a good question.
Because she was first elected as an independent, I think. But I think
super duper question. I hope Matt's listening. We'll have
Democrat.
To ask him.
She's on. She runs a Democrat.
Did it say in here?
She's a Democrat. She's a Democratic commissioner.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So she changed her personal party, but that didn't
change. Yeah.
Okay. Well, fantastic. All right. So
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll put that to our supervisor over in the newsroom. A Lewisburg man found dead in Chambersburg Wednesday morning. Chambersburg Public Opinion newspaper says 70-year-old George Raffensperger was found dead in a van in Chambersburg. Police there called to check on an unresponsive person Wednesday morning. They found him in the cargo area of the vehicle. It appeared to have been living in the van for a few days, according to the newspaper. Police say his death is not considered suspicious. And rising suicide rates and depression in U.S. teens and young adults have prompted researchers to ask a provocative question. Could the same devices that some people blame for contributing to tech age angst also be used to detect it? The idea has sparked a race to develop apps that warn of impending mental health crises. Call it smartphone psychiatry or child psychology 2.0. Studies have linked heavy smartphone use with worsening teen mental health. But as teens scroll through Instagram and Snapchat, tap out texts, or watch YouTube, they also leave digital footprints that might offer clues to their psychological well-being. So that's brought up and talked about issue these days. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We got 19 minutes left in the show. One of our listeners says, watch out, Trump. Nope, let's scratch that. Let's go to the phone. We'll do that first. Al, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I was listing the expenses for a small business, and they start out with workman's comps pretty high, especially depends what you're going to do. Then you got your SSI that you got to pay on every hourly employee, and either any employee. And then you got your unemployment insurance, which you pay according to how much you had to use it and how much you didn't have to use it. And then that helps you retain guys. Then you got your equipment cost. You got your operation expenses. Well, that's general. I shouldn't put that down. Then you got your quarterly taxes, your annual taxes, so you need an accountant that does your taxes. And then you have liability insurance. And then you get audited on that according to how things go and how much business you do. And then the same with the workman's comp. And if you have a big year, they expect your next year to be that big, and they set your rate at that. So, and then you have your permits and your inspections. A lot of times you got to pay for your own permits and inspections, and most contractors do. And then you got your sales tax, then you got your federal tax, your state tax, and your local tax. And that's just about 10 things, and that's all mandatory stuff. And then the perks are the other side. Like if you have a full-time employee, I'm not sure about that one question. They said if you have to have insurance on a full-time employee. I never had to. I mean, that was a benefit. So I'm putting that on the perk side. And then you got your vacations, your holidays, and all the your sick days if you want to offer them. It just goes on and on and on. And then if you take a bank loan out, you got the interest. And at times, your interest is enough to pay the vice president of the bank. It doesn't stop.
what type of business?
What happened is between my father and me, we sat here and we watched people like Campbell's Brothers, Epler's, House Tobacco, all of them out of business. And it's the corporations that come in, big grocery store, put all of them out of business. And they actually were tough about it. I could tell you stories. And it's just the environment is so tough to get going. And if you're lucky and hit it right, I mean, you can keep on going and going and going, but there are times that you're going to slow down, and then you're going to lose these guys, and then it's a tough environment, let me tell you.
Yeah, what type of business?
Especially for the small guys.
What type of business were you, retail or wholesale or?
General contracting.
General contracting, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, when you talk to people who have not opened a business or run a business, there's a different perspective. If you talk to people who have worked in a business and went out and started their business, that's an interesting conversation. But you're right. When you look at overhead, when you look at variable and you look at fixed costs, the variable costs have changed extremely over the last couple of decades. HR used to be something that an administrative or secretary back in the 70s would fill out. Now there's HR departments because of the regulations. And some of the regulations are positive. Some of them strangulate business. But I would agree with you.
The second part, strangulation, is what it is. I mean, if you don't hit it right, you're going to go down. And I told you, I saw all these little businesses put out of business by a big business that's in town, and is a wonderful business, and so on and so forth. But that was kind of branched out to group owned, and it makes it impossible. They can almost dictate what they were going to pay for the potatoes. They can almost dictate how much the candy's going to be, put the candy guy out of business, put the tobacco guy out of business. We had all these little warehouses in town that had family-run businesses, and they were supplying stuff for the grocery stores, and then it all turns into conglomerates and large business, and then they got you.
No, economies of scale.
In the contracting business, look, if you go to these, I'm always fixing behind online people that you can get, I'm going and fixing their jobs because the guy gets over there, gets the job, pays online, and then he's having a problem with his girlfriend so he doesn't come back and finish the job.
All right. Thank you so much, Al. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. Yeah. Lance, next up on our post-mortem of the jobless numbers and the Chamber of Commerce that was here, comments about the realities out there, please.
Well, if you talk to one of your sponsors there, you know, Steve there at Norrie Pharmacy, he'll tell you it's July till he gets done paying everything that comes in the door that goes out in taxes. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, Tax Freedom Day for a small business is September or October.
Let's move back over here.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the taxes, okay, just the taxes, not the expenses to actually keeping the business in business, but just tax.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And it is, like you're talking about, it's September, October, actually starts making money. Mm-hmm. And that's bad. But I called about, though, was style over substance. Your review of the movies this morning, well, that movie was absolutely true.
Which
movie? If you really look at it.
Wait. Let's stop at the beginning. You mean you're looking at Movie Mike's reviews overall?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. His worst movie was...
President Trump. It was something about the Trump administration. Yeah, I don't have the notes in front of me.
No, it wasn't the Trump administration.
It wasn't advice.
Death of a Nation and the Trump Prophecy. Yeah, Death of a Nation and the Trump Prophecy.
Yeah, well, that showed...
That's a movie?
Yeah. If you talk about what happened there, which came first, eugenics or the Nazis? Was eugenics... And that was what he pushed there. It was the master race. They called it a nation of thoroughbreds, or a race of thoroughbreds, that didn't include Jews. It did not include blacks. And we give an award to their head person, which, you know, is Margaret Sanger.
That's right, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. And so that was it, just because it wasn't... In his mind, professional, the way it was done. In other words, it was grade B acting, grade B this, grade B that, but not the substance. And that's kind of weird, but anyway, with, excuse me.
Well, I think it's false.
I'm here.
Yeah, I think it's entertainment.
Okay.
You know, he's
all
talking
right
about their entertainment value, so not necessarily, he doesn't verify, you know, fact-checking throughout the films.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the movies that he loved are animated, so what's how do you fact-check Spider-Man or something like that?
Yeah, right. Well, Taylor.
Yes.
When are you going home? Going back across the pond?
I'm home now. I'm going back on Sunday morning.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wonder. I'd just like to, if nothing else, talk to you on the phone for about an hour. I'd like to, you know, to get down on, you know, what is going on over there and exactly what you're all about. Last time we were together, you gave me the courtesy of listening to me with both ears.
Yeah.
Looking me square in the eye. And I sure would like to do that for you.
All right. Well, I know I have a busy schedule, and I've got some family stuff going on today. But maybe sometime on Saturday.
Okay. All right. You have my number there?
Yeah, we have it.
We got it. We're good to go.
All right.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much, Lance.
Thanks, Lance.
Give me a call at your convenience, okay?
Have a happy New Year.
Yes. Same to you, boy. Okay. Bye.
Oop, I'm sorry. There's just no way to cut off. Just not cut off the last word of people. Mm-hmm. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have open phones right now. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got two emails pending. Mr. Taylor's going to be able to explain how we can have Medicare for all. And I already have a cockamamie system that'll work.
Okay.
And I'll tell you how we'll do that when we come back. But we have open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Speedy dialers only at this point. On the mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane. Do as I do. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Get your vehicle checked out. Get a trip check to make sure that it's ready for a trip to up to Lock Haven tonight or wherever you happen to be going. They'll get your vehicle inspected. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, your tires, that is, so that they'll run longer and stay cooler longer.
Yeah, I don't want to be pumped up with nitrogen.
And not everybody. It doesn't sound as appealing when you put it that way. But the Quick Lane will take good care of you. You can check it out in advance, sunburymotors.com. If your vehicle's shot, you can build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln online. You can see the vehicles they got for sale, and they got a master towing service, too, if you just want some repairs. Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com, their website. Taylor said Medicare for all. Lawrence's cockamamie suggestion is that each year we lower the age of Medicare 1 year. So slowly it goes down.
That's a math equation. You know, if Taylor's 25 and you get Medicare when you're 65, I think it is.
Yeah, when will you meet? When will you meet? Well, you know.
Somebody can come up with a formula for that.
Okay.
Email it into the studio.
But one of our listeners, not with my idea, but with Taylor's idea of Medicare for All, says Taylor should go out and work in the real world and gain some real world knowledge. It would be great to live in dreamland. Not all jobs pay the same. You'll find you will get a job out of what you put in. Educate yourself to provide yourself the skills to be employable. Since time began, there's been people who settled and those who strive for more. If you settle, don't complain and expect the same for the go-getters. Life is not easy, but it can be rewarding.
Well, my my first job, I got it as a sophomore in high school, was at the Town Tavern, Lewisburg Town Tavern. I was a busboy, and then I became a dishwasher, and I...
Was that a promotion at the time?
It was, actually. Okay. Better pay. But no tips. Yeah, I like to put in a hard day's work every day. Right now, I'm going to school to get a good degree so that I can hustle even harder. And, yeah, I don't think it's a radical idea to say that if you work, if you put in 40 hours of hard work every week, you have enough money to pay your rent, have good health insurance, and put some food on the table, and maybe have a little bit for a vacation at the end of the year. I think that is actually no less than the American dream.
I was just going to say, it sounds like the working class dream to me. You shake your head, no, it's not feasible today,
buddy. What are you going to do? What job do you have? So if you're a offensive lineman for a professional football team, you do your job. You expect to be paid. Do you expect to be paid like a running back or a quarterback or a wide receiver? So skill levels mean something. So in the workforce, it means something also. So
I'm not saying that everybody should be paid the same.
Well,
but
you're
saying
blanket.
The base is, you know, the bare minimum is that you get paid enough to support yourself and a family.
So you say livable wage, which
a livable wage, which
is not definable from a standpoint, because is a livable wage the same in Lewisburg?
Well, it's different
as it is in Millerstown, or
it's
is it
different.
The same as Lock Haven as it is in State College?
I think that you're going with semantics here, but I'm
it's
I'm
not
just saying
semantics. That's the real world. So you're a clerk of an auto parts store, and you live in Lock Haven. Then you say, "Hey, I want a livable wage, but I want to move to, let's say, Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. I'm down in the Philadelphia area." So then they should pay you as a clerk a livable wage down there compared to what you had in Clinton County. I mean, you know, these are undefinable, and the problem is these are superficial and they're not real. It's not the real world. The real world's based on supply and demand of your labor, how well you do your job, and at what expectations do your employers have, and what expectations as an employee do you have.
In the wealthiest country in the history of the world, people should not be living in poverty.
Poverty has existed since day one, and it will always exist. What you realize is this country and capitalistic ideals have moved more people around the world out of poverty because people can use their skills to improve their way of life. And America gives people the opportunity. It doesn't give them the answer, the definition. You're not going to succeed, but unless you move and you do things, but it gives you the opportunity to succeed. And that's what this country is based on. That's why people got in wagons and went out west. That's why people got in boats from Europe and came to America. I mean, for that opportunity to succeed. Doesn't say you're automatically going to succeed.
I didn't say that you're automatically going to succeed. I said that if you put in a hard days of work, you will have enough to support yourself and a family. And that's the way that it used to be.
One children, three children. One car, two cars?
Ben, this is
snowmobile?
This is.
What are you defining?
I mean, I'm just saying that in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, we shouldn't have people eating cat food because they can't afford food.
Well, there's government programs, and those safety nets are there for that. So
people don't have to be on food stamps.
Yes, and there was a safety net during the Obama administration. Food stamps grew immensely. Now, under this administration, they've come back.
We also had a recession, man.
They came back. So, again.
All right, well, to be continued, men. Safe travels, buddy.
Thank you. Yep. Good to be here, as always.
Big flight to Copenhagen right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Sunday.
Lawrence is worth his flight advice. Take a magazine. That always
okay.
Small book.
That always works.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Ben.
Okay.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
We'll see you in 6 9/10 days. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time, 10 a.m. time for the Dan Patrick Show.